This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Jason and Alexis in the Morning. On My Talk 107.1, everything entertainment, everything Kenny's hunting again.
Whoa! Where's that rooster?
Where's
Nick Cannon.
There we go. Yeah. I just deleted those off my phone.
Me too.
In case I have a heart attack here before the end of the day. I don't want somebody to open up my phone.
Oh, and, I might have one, too. Let me get rid of mine, too.
Yeah.
Just in case. For the record, I did not. I just...
Well, you're allowed.
Yeah, I just wanted to be very clear about that. Yeah.
She just wants to take a look at it one more time.
I did. Oh, wow.
Yeah, me too. Jason and Alexis in the Morning on this Tuesday, December 7th, 2021. I'm Jace. Well, Lex, Dawn, and Kenny, we're glad that you're here because we've been doing this, not the show, but we've been doing Santa Stops for... 72 years we've been doing Santa Stops.
14 years, yep.
It's the 74th annual Santa Stop, benefiting our friends and family at the Ronald McDonald House. And today, we're doing a virtual Santa Stop. Now, sometimes, you know, we're in person. Because of this and that, we cannot be. So we are thrilled to team up with Voyage Healthcare today. And we're so happy. In a few minutes, we're going to be joined by one of our friends from Voyage. But please, there are 4 drop-off locations for Voyage Healthcare. And one of them's in Plymouth, one's in Maple Grove, Osseo, Crystal. And you can also do cash donations as well. So... please drop off your toys for the 77th annual Santa Project to benefit Ronald McDonald House Charities. And thanks to Voyage Healthcare. We greatly appreciate them for partnering with us.
You're the best every year.
Yeah, every year.
And there's a list, too, if you maybe thinking at, like, teenage kids or the moms and dads at Ronald McDonald House. They have a huge wish list if you go to mytalk1071.com, keyword Santa.
Thank you, my dear friend. Mm-hmm. And again, we have a friend coming up in just a few minutes. But speaking of just a few minutes, I saw a couple Broadway shows. I was in New York over the weekend with my gal pals and had a great time and was lucky enough to have the opportunity to see Hadestown, the Tony Award-winning musical, and Come From Away. And I will begin with Come From Away because, quite honestly and quickly, it is the show that I loved more. And it is both are actually getting ready to come to Minneapolis in the traveling productions in the Hennepin Broadway series. And if you do not know, Come From Away is about the events of post 9/11. Now you're thinking right now, like, what? Where obviously the FAA shut down air travel immediately and the planes had to go somewhere. And this is a story of a very small town in Newfoundland who gets hundreds and thousands of new residents for 5 days. They all have to land at this small airport in the small town. And it is fantastic. The staging of it, the way that the ensemble, the main cast, not only plays the town folks, but they also play the people on the airplanes. You follow a certain number of passengers and you follow a certain number of the town folk. And this wonderful cast, through wonderful direction, they morph back and forth between the townsfolk to the passengers. and they are stellar. This Broadway cast is stellar. And the way that it is staged, you know, in 1 minute, the chairs on the stage are put into rows so it looks like an airplane. And then, boom, the next minute, the chairs are spread across the stage to look like a bar in Canada, and or a Tom Hortons, which kind of opens the show. There's a big Tom Hortons sign. The staging, the music, the cast, the story, and it's short. It's literally, it's just over 90 minutes. It's about 110 minutes. And there's no intermission. I don't know if there will be in the traveling show. I doubt it. It was a winner. The ladies loved it. I loved it. We walked out and just had nothing but glowing things to say. So when it comes, come from away, go see it. It's really good.
Is it an emotional roller coaster?
Yeah, you know, because one of the, you know, I'm glad that you asked that. One of the characters is a female pilot for American Airlines. And my understanding is this story is, and the characters are, I should say loosely, based on real individuals. And one of the main characters is a female pilot for American Airlines, one of the first, I believe. And you kind of follow her journey. I hate that word, but, you know, you learn that she's loved aviation for all these years and she loved flying more than anything. And this experience made her question her love of aviation. You know, the events of 9/11 through her prism was fascinating and a little heartbreaking. We all have dreams. You know, I think all four of us, you know, I think it's fair to say had some sort of broadcasting dream. Can you imagine if that dream was soured by something and what that emotionally is like for her? Mm-hmm. And then you have a passenger who, you know, because you forget, and one of the characters says this, this is before the time where everybody had a cell phone. So these individuals on these ancillary planes, there was only about one or two people on each of these planes that even had a cell phone. So when they're landing in Canada, when they're landing in Newfoundland, they have no idea really what's going on. They can't get a hold of their loved ones. They can't find out about their loved ones, nor can they let their loved ones know that they're okay. And you forget about that. I mean, living in a 2021 world, you forget the limitations in 2001 and the emotional toll that it takes over the 5 days on this one particular woman who can't get a hold of her child. Her adult child. And then you find out what happens to that kid. Now, what I just described sounds very heavy. Those are just two stories in a wonderfully comedic narrative. And they managed to walk both really well. The drama, I cried. Lisa cried. I think Jen cried. And then the next minute, you're singing a hysterical song set in a bar in Newfoundland, and it's great. It was an unexpected little joy for me. I didn't know a lot about it. It wasn't on my top list to see, but it was for one of my friends, and we went, and I was taken by Come From Away. So yeah,
wow, I want to see it now.
You do want to see it, believe me. I can't wait to go back. I want to see the traveling cast. Because if they're anything like the Broadway cast, which I'm just going to focus on the positive and say I'm sure they will be, it's going to be, you guys are thoroughly going to love it, thoroughly enjoy it. So there we go.
I went to college with the girl who played the reporter in the original Broadway cast, Janice.
It's a great character.
And yeah, she originated the role on Broadway, so
it's
I've
a great
always
character.
Just been really wanting to see it.
You will love it, Dawn. You will love it. The staging of it is quite brilliant. How they take a very simple stage
I saw it on the Tonys whenever in like 2017. I was watching the Tonys and I hadn't realized that she was in it. And I was like, oh my God, there's Kendra. And yeah, it was just folding chairs. It seemed like that they moved around a lot.
And, Yep. And somehow you feel like you're there and you feel like you're in Newfoundland.
That's
so
cool.
Come from away, go get tickets when it comes to the Twin Cities. Now, usually we do read your sticks here, but because I was at because I was in New York over the weekend with the gal pals, the Lisa LaCourcier, my friend Hey Hey Haley from L.A., and then not to be forgotten, Jen. We had a Sex and the City-esque girls weekend, and we're lucky enough to see two shows, Come From Away, which I reviewed in the 6 o'clock hour. If you missed that, I would encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast a little bit later. And the other show is Hadestown, the Tony Award-winning Hadestown, and it is a musical, and it is basically a Greek myth about Orpheus, and where Orpheus goes down to Hadestown to rescue his lover, and it's kind of a modern retelling of that. And Hades is played by the husband of my friend Paige Davis, legendary Broadway actor Patrick Page. And to bottom line it, I liked it. I did not love it, if I'm being very honest. And, you know, it's weird for me to say that because I you never want to say that in front of your friend whose husband is the lead. So
this is a very honest review. I love it.
Yeah,
him though, right? Is it the story? Is it the pacing? Was it too long?
I have learned to ask this lately. So I'm going to ask right now, how honest should I be? Anybody?
Honest.
Always, yeah.
It's not like you're going to take away ticket sales when it comes here. Come on, spill the tea.
Lie like a rug. Lie.
I know, believe me, after the last few weeks.
Just lie. It'll be a lot easier if you just lie.
Here's the deal. I will. Thank you, Kenny. Oh, I knew. Kenny.
No, we want to hear the truth.
You know, it's just lie. It'll
I now easier. Know. Yeah, I know what's good for me now. I didn't love him. I'm just gonna. Okay, I gotta be honest. I didn't. I didn't love Patrick in it because his voice. And he purposely does this. And some people love it. I mean, obviously, dude was nominated for a Tony. So who the hell am I?
Right.
But this is what. And we talked about this the whole trip. This is how he sang as Hades. You come down to Hadestown. The walls are built around Hadestown. And if you think I'm joking, I am not. I'm sure if Lisa LaCourcier is listening, she could back me up. It was almost distracting. Now, look. He is doing it on purpose, and it is a creative decision that is supposed to aid in his he's supposed to be a very evil presence, and he's doing this, and he's singing like this to add a sense of dread and a sense of stature to his version of Hades. But I will tell you, for me, it was just distracting. There's that. Now, is he awful? Absolutely. It's Patrick Page. He's fantastic. His singing voice just really kind of got to me after a while.
Wait, so you're watching this with Page?
Page is sitting next to me.
Do you control your face? Did you say?
Had you had a cocktail?
Was there a reaction?
So you can numb your senses?
Did she warn you?
No, none of that, but she's such a sweetheart. She checked in intermission. She goes, are you following it? Because it is very, you know, if you don't know anything about Greek myths, and I will tell you, it is a thing that I do not know a lot about, but I was following it, but I'm not overly familiar with a lot of Greek myths. So if you are not, some of it initially may go over your head of like, what the hell's happening?
Yeah.
When you come to see the traveling show here in Minneapolis, the first couple minutes, you will kind of be like, okay, what the hell is this? Like, is it New Orleans? Is it hell? Is it above hell? Is it hell's waiting room? Why are they singing? And what's the trombone? There's a trombone in hell? What the hell is this? You know what I mean? You're kind of...
If any instrument's going to be in hell, it's a trombone.
Yeah. You are... I was...
I'm kidding.
Wow, Dawn.
I'm just kidding to all of our trombone players out there.
Yeah. So you could be like me, like a dumb guy. You could be a little lost at first, but once you know it's based on a Greek myth, that frees you, and then you kind of are in the story because it's about this young love. It's about, like I said, it's about Orpheus, who is a waiter, who is portrayed as a waiter in this kind of New Orleans style restaurant.
Love it.
Yeah, you, Dawn. You will love this. Colin will love this. Now, here's where...
jazz music?
Ooh, there's more.
Yes.
It's jazz music. Okay, good.
It has ribbons of New Orleans in it.
Ooh.
I mean, it really... The setting, the set, the music, the band. Yes, it is very New Orleans, which is glorious. That was actually my favorite aspect of it. Now...
Mm-hmm. Lean in, everybody.
here's where at the end of the trip yesterday, when we did our rose and thorn, which we always do when we have a trip, give us your rose, your high point, your low point. The girls and I, we said we didn't really have a low point. Our high point was, this was a situation where you know how you try not to laugh at a funeral and you're holding or an uncomfortable moment, and you got the giggles and you're holding it in and it hurts so bad that your head wants to explode. Mm-hmm. That is what occurred at the end of Hadestown, because just so everybody knows the seating order, it is Haley way at the end and Haley has no idea what is occurring. Then it is Lisa LaCoursier. Then it is Jennifer. Then it is me. And then Paige. So, you know me, I am a little ADHD, and no. And you also know that I'm cursed with people sitting near me, whether it's a movie or Broadway show. Alexis has been with me several times. Well, the curse is alive and well, because at the end of the second act, there's something sad that happens. Hmm. And we had a 20-something and his mother behind us who talked during a lot of the show. But that's not what bothered me. That's not what bothered me. What bothered me, but yet, thank goodness for our radio show, dude would grunt at the most inopportune times. And I'm not kidding. There's a part in the first act where there's something joyous that happens, and there's a big crescendo of the song. So I'm going to act like I'm the song, okay? It's like...
Oh, this is fantastic.
This is fantastic! Huh. Breaks the silence with a like, huh. Like, huh. And says it like that loud. Huh. Breaks the silence.
Oh, I thought it was more of a,
You probably had good seats, Lex, too.
We were in like third row.
Oh, my God. So the actors can hear him.
Third or fourth row.
They can hear him.
Yeah. So it was literally like this big happy moment of like, we are in love. Huh. And Jen about died. And I'm like, okay, so that's act one. Oh. So now in act two, this is the swirling of activity. I have Paige next to me, who Paige, though she's seen this show 38 times, Paige is really wrapped up in the emotion and she's crying. So I have Paige crying next to me and I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know how to react. Do I touch her arm? Do I comfort her? So she's reacting to the love story unfolding. So I have Paige next to me. I have Paige next to me. And then behind me, I have the talkers. And then the guy that plays Orpheus is fantastic, but he's a side mouth singer. So he sings like, look at me in the camera. He's like this. He's like, I love you. And we discuss this in intermission.
Like Popeye.
Oh, Popeye. He's like Popeye.
Oh, my God.
So Jen and Lisa are so distracted by side singer. That's what we're double S. So side singer starts singing his last love ballad. And something has happened. So Paige is now sniffling. She's audibly crying and sniffling, you know, like I feel bad for her. So I have Paige I have Paige crying, and then side singer starts singing, and Jen is like squeezing my leg like, what the hell is going on? So then I want to comfort Paige because that's my girl. That's my friend. And I feel bad because she's obviously in the moment, you know, as we all should be. So I'm sitting there distracted by side singer. And then so side singer is singing a really sad song. And this is basically toward the end of the play. And he's like this. He goes, and there is a loud animal-like grunt that breaks the silence once again behind me. And at that, it's like a loud right at the conclusion of side singer's big love ballad, a sad song. So Jen looks down, and I can see Jen and Lisa's shoulders bouncing up and down, and I am sitting there, and I am now praying to every religious figure out there.
Yes,
I don't care. I am the buffer. I'm in the middle, and I do not want Paige to think we're laughing at the performance. I do not want. I want to comfort Paige. I am trying to keep it together, and my throat. I am hurting so bad because I am seconds from losing it and laughing hysterically because Jen and Lisa are laughing to the point because Grunter is grunting and then side singer starts singing again. And I'm like, there is so much going on that my poor little mind can't like comprehend. So the moment the show got over, you guys will love this. This is so Jason. So I stand up because there's like, they do the curtain call and then Paige warned us that they do a fun little sad, they do like a little song at the end of like a goodbye, like a so long farewell. So we're all standing up and all I want to do is get the hell out of there because we're just, and then they start singing it. And I start clapping prematurely. Like I clap before the song's over. They're like goodbye audience. And I start clapping and Jen goes, stop clapping. It's not over yet. And I'm like, oh God, I'm the only one clapping.
Oh God, this is fantastic.
It was, oh God, my butthole, like my butthole fell. Like I left my butthole in New York. I really did. I have no rear end because it was so clenched.